Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Will Mormon President Thomas S. Monson be visiting England to answer to charges of fraud? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Well, last week it kind of hit the fan. There were stories going around all over the place. At first it started from what all appears to be a blog article. And then all of a sudden, the media outlet started picking up the story about Thomas S. Monson being served a summons and ordered to appear in a British courtroom accusing him of fraud. The USA Today newspaper had something to say about this. So what did they say, Eric?
Yeah, this is dated February 4th, 2014, and it's titled, Mormon President Ordered to Appear in British Court. And it says, the leader of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has been ordered to appear before a magistrate in England on fraud charges filed by a disaffected ex-Mormon who disputes fundamental teachings of the religion, according to documentation obtained by the Arizona Republic. But some legal experts in England say it is unlikely prosecutors would seek to have him extradited, and they are surprised the summonses were issued at all.
Yeah, this is a little bit of an embarrassment to the Mormon Church. They've been kind of hit from all over the place, coming out with all these various statements on their past historical anomalies. And now this certainly isn't going to help, I think, their convert rate. But I think we should mention that there are two names that are given in these summons that was presented to Thomas Monson for making false representations. And one of them was a guy by the name of Stephen Colin Bloor, I think is maybe how you pronounce that, and Christopher Dennis Ralph. There's also another guy, Tom Phillips, who's involved in this. Now, Bloor is a third-generation Mormon. He served as a Mormon bishop. Now, he ended up finding out that there were things in his Mormon belief that were not true. Christopher Ralph was a Mormon convert back in 1971. He served in various bishoprics. Tom Phillips is the acting prosecutor. He's a retired management consultant. He was a Mormon convert back in 1969. He served as a bishop, stake president, and an area executive secretary.
Yeah, well,
in the Mormon Church.
And Phillips supposedly received the second anointing in a Mormon temple. So, so here's somebody who is part of this whole thing who is going to go to the celestial kingdom guaranteed.
Well, it seems to be. That's going to be quite an anomaly. But I guess it's guaranteed until we rescind it, Mr. Johnson, because, things could change as we find a lot of things in Mormonism do tend to change. Now, in this summons and the whole idea of the charge of fraud, I think the reason why a lot of people don't think that at least part of this accusation is going to go anywhere is because it's dealing with religious beliefs. Historical, yes. Doctrinal, yes. But there are basically seven things that these gentlemen are complaining about and feel like the Mormon Church was not being honest with them. These include, number one, the Book of Abraham is a literal translation of Egyptian papyri by Joseph Smith.
And the Book of Mormon was translated from ancient gold plates by Joseph Smith as the most correct book on earth and is an ancient historical record.
It also includes the item that Native Americans are descended from an Israelite family which left Jerusalem in 600 B.C.,
Number four is that Joseph and Hiram Smith were killed as martyrs in 1844 because they would not deny their testimony of the Book of Mormon.
It also claims that the Illinois newspaper called the Nauvoo Expositor had to be destroyed because it printed lies about Joseph Smith. Yeah. And then these last two, I wonder, why did they get thrown in there?
Yeah.
The accusation that there was no death on the planet prior to 6,000 years ago and that all humans alive today are descended from just two people who lived approximately 6,000 years ago.
They're making these guys sound like they're young Earth creationists, and You know, as far as I understand, they believe not in ex nihilo creation, out of nothing it was created, but rather that matter is eternal, ex materia. Right. Evolution is taught over at BYU.
So I know. I don't understand why these last two were thrown in, but these are the issues that are being raised in this, and I think this is why a lot of people think this, at least this part of it, is not going to really go anywhere. Because as a religious people, you can believe just about anything you want, and usually the state doesn't want to intervene in things like that. They'll let religion kind of do its own thing. It can really only make the state look bad when it starts to intermingle with some of these things. So whether or not a person wants to believe that the Book of Abraham is a literal translation of Egyptian papyri by Joseph Smith, I really can't imagine the state wanting to make a big issue out of that.
And these are faith issues. We've had no precedence that England or America or anyone else has taken anyone to court for issues involving one's personal belief.
And how are they really going to prove this? I've been trying to read up as much as I can on this, and it seems to me that if you're going to prove that Thomas Monson is engaged in some kind of fraud, and I don't know, maybe they do have this alleged smoking gun where Thomas Monson has said somewhere that he doesn't believe the Book of Mormon was translated from gold plates by Joseph Smith, or he doesn't believe the Book of Abraham is a literal translation, or he really doesn't believe Native Americans are descended from an Israelite family, and blah, blah, blah. Maybe they have something on him like that, but if Monson seems to give the impression that he really believes that as a faithful Mormon, is that really fraud, even though you think he's wrong on that? Because you and I don't agree with a lot of these statements, but I don't think we would go so far as to say that the church is willfully committing a fraud in perpetuating what we think are actually myths. Now, sometimes I wonder if they know better, and I get asked that all the time. You get asked that. It seems like whenever we go to churches to speak, somebody's always asking us, do you really think the leadership doesn't know? Well, it's hard for me to say for sure because I've never been able to get close enough to the leadership to even ask them some of these things. And if I was to ask them, do you really think for a minute they're going to be honest with me and say, no, I think it's all a joke myself? I don't think that's going to happen.
We don't have that smoking gun. We don't have absolute proof. But we've heard things as 70 supposedly told somebody about how the leaders don't believe it from the top down. The general authorities, the top 15 men there, are not believers. But how are you going to be able to prove that in England?
Now, there's one part of this lawsuit, that I think might have some teeth and might have some traction. And it doesn't have to do with some of the obviously strange and unique beliefs of Mormonism, but it has to do with tax evasion.
Money.
And that, I think, might stick. Last January of 2013, we did a series of 5 shows dealing with this Mission President's Manual.
We have an article on our website, mrm.org/mission-president-handbook. If you just type Mission President Handbook into mrm.org, you'll get this article, and it has a link to those radio shows.
The reason why we thought it was so important to go through that is because in that handbook, it actually tells mission presidents what they are going to receive as compensation as a quote-unquote volunteer. And Eric, you went through a lot of these perks, adding them up very conservatively to see how much money does that really compute to. And we figured it was, what, around $100,000? Yeah. Very conservatively.
I was going to say, we were very conservative. We did it as if somebody was living in Provo, being the mission president there. And Utah is not as expensive a state as California or other states, or going to other parts of the world.
Well, what caught our attention in that Mission President's Manual is the fact that the mission presidents are supposed to portray themselves as being mere volunteers for the church. They are not employees. In fact, the manual itself says, and I'm quoting, "Do not share information on funds you receive from the church with those who help you with financial or tax matters. Never represent in any way that you are paid for your service. Do not list any funds you receive from the church, regardless of where you serve or where you hold citizenship. That certainly is attention getting. And here is what I think may be the problem for the Mormon Church down the road. I don't know how they've gotten away with this for so many years here in the United States, because I do know that ministers do get a housing allowance, but they are not supposed to claim as a volunteer work the many things that were on the list. I mean, we're talking about
cook, part-time housekeeper, utilities, internet connections. It goes on and on.
A car, tuitions. I mean, it was quite a long list. I'm not aware that the IRS code ever allowed for those things to be considered a volunteer perk. Well, apparently England doesn't, and their laws are different. And apparently the Mormon Church has been doing this with their mission presidents over in the country of England, and it seems now it's caught the attention of the British government.
Yeah, the document in England is SA012M. The rules for ministers of religion include that they're supposed to declare this, and add to that the cash equivalent of the benefit of housing, cars, medical insurance, college fees, cook, family, travel, etc. This needs to be grossed up in tax and employee national insurance contributions paid on it. This hasn't been done for at least 30 years, and none of this has been declared by any of these mission presidents.
The charge of tax evasion, I think, is probably, in my opinion, the more serious charge. I mean, you can debate whether or not a person's religious views are valid or not. That's a whole other issue. But actually, this is theft from the government.
And this is what is going to be more prosecutable, rather than trying to get
I
them
think
on
so.
The
We could
doctrines.
Be wrong. We could be wrong, but I think you're right. I think that's probably something that will have more, as I said, more teeth to it. It's going to be interesting to see how the Mormon Church responds to this and whether or not Thomas Monson goes to England. We don't have a lot of information. This is all pretty new, and so we'll keep you posted as we go along.
I predict that he won't be going on any visits or trips to England anytime soon.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing? He arrives at Heathrow and there's the bobbies to clamp the irons on him. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it is an interesting scenario, and it most definitely is getting a lot of worldwide attention.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.